COVID-19 closed borders brought global tourism to a shuddering halt. But if anyone could find a way around it, perhaps it's not surprising they'd be Kiwi. To in fact, New Zealanders Monica Page and T. De Silva quit their Sydney-based marketing and tech product roles last July with a plan to travel the world for 3 years. Already seasoned travellers, they'd a spreadsheet of destinations they'd lined up to visit, and we're in Europe in March when the seriousness of COVID became apparent. They flew to Barbados to lay low, ending up there for 4 months before heading back to Europe to visit Slovenia, Slovakia and Croatia before COVID cases ramped up again. Now they're in Egypt. So what's it like to travel in a pandemic? Mon and TJ are with us now. Welcome.
Hi.
Hey.
What hour is it?
We're excited to be.
Yeah, what hour is it where you are?
It's 20 to 11 at the moment in the evening.
Thank you for staying up.
We've got time.
Yeah.
That's one thing we've got.
Look, 2020's been quite a thing, hasn't it been? Let's go back to where you were at last July and the big decision that it was time to do some travelling. What was driving that?
Yeah, it's always been a big dream of ours to travel and do a big trip. And I think the timing was just right. We'd both kind of worked. I'd been at the same job for 8 years and had a really great time there. And it was a good time to change. And I think Mon had the same. So we had a plan a couple of years before. We're like, we're going to do it. We saved for 8 years. And then we're like, okay, next year, let's think about it. And a year rolled by and it all kind of happened.
So you headed off in July with a pretty detailed plan at that stage.
Yeah, very detailed.
We did. That was probably a year in the making, putting our spreadsheet together. The main thing we had in mind, I guess, was covering off the big places that we wanted to see. So making sure that we got the bucket list spots ticked off and trying to get places in the best weather as well. So we hate the cold. We wanted to avoid winter as much as we could. But in saying that, we didn't want to end up in a place like Egypt in the scorching heat. So we had our spreadsheet to kind of help guide the journey, but with a lot of flexibility around it as well.
What's that saying about the best laid plans? How far had you got? How far had you got before New Year this year? Where were some of the places you'd been before we started to realise that this virus people were talking about was going to be different this time? Where had you been?
Yeah, we did some amazing stuff. The first half of the trip was incredible. We kicked it off with seeing Alaska and seeing the bears in Denali Park. We then went through Canada and went through the amazing lakes and hiking through Whistler and Jasper, made our way south to sailed across from Panama to Colombia, made our way all the way down South America to the Galapagos, Patagonia, and even to Antarctica by January before COVID hit. So we saw some incredible places in the first kind of leg.
That spreadsheet's quite impressive then. Where were you when you realised that borders were going to start closing? Like, how did this... It sort of shocked so many of us in some ways, even though we could see things coming. Things like our border closure just came so quickly in the end. Where were you at that moment you realised there was a really big thing happening?
So we were in Portugal. We arrived there before their summer period kicked off, so it was pretty quiet. Tourist-wise, there weren't a whole lot of people in the major tourist spots, so we were really enjoying it. It was pretty easy breezy. And then we started noticing that there were less locals out and about. The people that we did see, I guess, come early March were out wearing masks and wearing gloves. And that's when we're thinking, well, it's hitting Europe hard. And we kind of started thinking about what our next steps would be. And then Portugal started to close down. So restaurants were closing down and people were asked not to go outside. And that's when we decided it's probably time now that we leave Europe and choose a spot to head to where we can just relax basically and not have to worry about being out and about, and where we can be by ourselves as well, because we didn't want to be around tourists or in a big city. And that's why we chose Barbados, because firstly, we love the beach. So that was a bonus, being somewhere for such a long time where we can enjoy relaxing, but also because we didn't have to be around a lot of people. And two, because they had so few cases there. So we felt that Barbados was a relatively safe move as well.
So how long did you end up staying in Barbados?
We were there for 4 months. So we got to know a lot of the locals and maybe slightly became a local.
This is the interesting point then. You can either stay in place or you can come home, or you can decide that, pandemic or not, you're going to keep travelling. What were the conversations you had?
Yeah, all of them really. So I've got a friend's wedding in Feb, so we were always going to come back kind of in the end of or beginning of the new year. And then it was a decision, well, do we just come home now and spend that whole time there, or do we kind of see if we can keep seeing a bit of the world at a much slower pace? So we just looked, what was opening up, what was safe, what was kind of easy once we're in Europe to kind of go drive between or take buses between countries and not fly. It was tough. It was a lot of conversations and a lot of looking at reports and news articles and case, the Worldometer.
Yeah, constantly refreshing the Worldometer to see which countries had a number of cases. And that's actually when we decided to give Norway a shot. So from what we could tell from looking online, Norway was open to New Zealand citizens. And so we booked flights to Norway, very excited to be going somewhere where we could just spend a lot of time in nature, be somewhere that, again, we felt quite safe because there were low cases, and yeah, just really enjoy the outdoors. And unfortunately, we arrived in Norway to find out that, yeah, it was open to New Zealanders, but only in special circumstances. So we very sadly were turned away at the border, and they got us on a flight straight back to London, which is where we just had a stopover. And that's where we kind of went right back to the planning board, because, yeah, that wasn't an option and we had no idea where to next. So we started investigating other places in Europe from there.
So you basically went to countries that would let you in.
Yes.
Yep.
Starting with those with low cases. So
the lowest case.
Yeah. So Slovenia had really low case numbers when we got there. And actually, I remember at their border, the border control weren't really sure what to do with New Zealand citizens. But this time we came very prepared. So we'd emailed, we'd called. I said to them, look, we've called, we've been told by the embassy that we're allowed in as New Zealand citizens. We've come from the UK where we've been for the last 2 weeks, so we don't need to quarantine. And then they just said, oh, okay, off you go then. So they just kind of trusted our word on it. And yeah, we're very lucky to travel Slovenia for about a month.
So Slovenia, Slovakia and Croatia, there's some lovely images on a photo gallery here. And the thing that strikes me about them is that the only people are, for the most part, are you two. And this is very different. Most tourist photos in Europe, there are crowds. What has it been like travelling, apart from the organisational stress, how has it been different from what you would normally experience?
Yeah, so there's definitely two sides. There's the being able to enjoy some incredible sites like Dubrovnik and the walls by yourself, or the countrysides of these amazing places, and Egypt especially, all the monuments. You've got it to yourself, which is unreal, and you don't need to Photoshop anyone out of your photos. There's no one there. But you miss out on I'm a big footy lover, so I was hoping to see some soccer in Europe, and, you know, the cafes and the restaurants and the food and the people side, that's kind of missing. So you get a good portion, a really amazing experience of having some great stuff to yourself, but you don't get the whole experience of every country. So it's got its great parts, and it's got its parts that we'll have to come back for and experience another time.
How have the locals received you?
Everywhere's been, like, especially Slovenia, they were really happy to have people, because we stayed a lot of Airbnbs. And they were so hospitable with us. Even Croatia, they were really, really welcoming and warm and happy to have some tourists around. Egypt, I'm not sure. Egypt is a tough one, but I think yeah, all in all, I think having people around makes them feel, that people are spending money and, trying to support them, and yeah, they've all been pretty welcoming.
Did you come across other travellers, or are you a rarity?
There aren't very many travelers. In Egypt, we've seen a few more, and it's so obvious in Egypt too. When you see a tourist, you know straight away. I think it's probably a little bit more difficult the other places we've been. Like in Croatia, there are a few here and there, but there definitely weren't very many. And I think we've noticed that there's a lot. We notice all the local tourists as well. So yeah, not so many foreign tourists, that's for sure.
Do you think you've been exposed to or have had COVID? Have you had your worries or your wonderings?
Definitely had the worries, but I mean, neither of us think that we've had it. It's hard to know, I think, because people can have such mild cases of it, but neither of us have ever had the cough or had the fever or the loss of smell or the loss of taste. So as far as we know, we haven't had it. We've been tested a few times because we've needed to enter borders, and those have come back negative. So fingers crossed we haven't had it. But I guess
Don't
we're never
know.
sure until perhaps we do an antibody test.
You've been doing some podcasts and charity work while you've been away as well. What is the plan now, though? This turned into a multi-year trip. Are you going to stay with it? Or what?
So I think I was lucky. I've always wanted to give back and help with a charity or support a cause. And I was lucky to find the IAPF, which is, I was born in South Africa and grew up in Botswana, and so it's a cause of helping to stop poaching in Southern Africa. And it's a nomadic digital world at the moment. I came from a world of digital marketing, building software, and you can kind of do that anywhere. And even through Egypt, the internet's been great. So I'll hopefully support them while we can travel. There's always time in the morning, time in the evening to do stuff after your day exploring. And I just don't watch Netflix and help a charity instead. So yeah, hope to keep at it for a little bit longer.
I'm sure many people have asked you, as some of our listeners at the moment, about the safety matters of travelling at this time, and including for the populations you're travelling in. So, what have you done with respect to compliance with each country's requirements?
So we always have our masks on us. If we're indoors, we are always wearing our masks. If we're around people, we're always wearing them. Even if we're outside and it's somewhat crowded, or if we feel that people are approaching us, then we put them on. We're super careful with having our masks because, as you just mentioned, we don't just want to protect ourselves, but we also want to protect the communities that we're in as well. We're also hand washing all the time, using hand sanitizer, and keeping our distance from people as much as we can as well. So, yeah,
Yeah,
what are you going to
and
say
I
to me?
think we don't go to a lot of crowded things. Like, there's been some opportunities to attend, some cool stuff, and it's just crowded, and we just don't go to it because we know that's a could be a spreading event. So, yeah, we really try and experience the nature side of stuff or stuff that we know we can walk up to and see by ourselves in our own space. And then if we take buses, make sure they're not packed. And airplanes is really the hardest one to avoid. That's the one we can't pick if it's full or not. But otherwise, we try to be as precautious as possible and take all the tests that the countries mandate.
Monica Page and T. De Silva, Kiwis who are keeping up their travels through the pandemic in the countries where they are allowed.